Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I come to you on this midway mark in the month of May. Can you believe that already it's May 15th, 2020? May 15th. We have hit the midway mark of the month. As we get closer and closer to steadily good weather, right? And today, I mean, look, it's been raining the last 2 days. It's going to rain throughout the weekend. You know, there's going to be a small window on Saturday where it looks to be nice and dry. And on Sunday, though, the rain is supposed to return. But it's just good to see temps steadily hitting the 60s at least. We're going to get highs into the low 70s today, which is really, really nice. Feels really good. So, happy May 15th to you guys. On today's Current Sports, we got to get to a few things. And I want to tell you about Matthew Stafford's home that is currently up for sale. You know, I posted this on my Facebook page when I saw it reported by the Detroit Free Press that Matthew Stafford has listed his $6.5 million home out in Bloomfield Township up for sale. And folks, if you haven't seen this crib, check it out. You know, I posted that I had no idea that there were houses like that existed in Metro Detroit. I mean, if you look at this home, it looks like something out of South Beach, right off the water. I mean, it's got glass all around. You got this huge, beautiful pool lining the outside, elevator. I mean, it's crazy. I'm going to give you more details about this home in just a moment. But I got a comment on the $6.5 million home and why it's up for sale in the first place. All right, so we'll get to that. I'll read a few of your comments that are coming in on my personal Facebook page. Many of you guys, you have the same reaction that I did when I first saw this morning. So, yeah, we'll get to that. Also, I want to tell you guys about a new addition for the Michigan men's basketball team. You know, it's been quite the quarantine for Juwan Howard and the University of Michigan men's basketball team. You know, these past few weeks, I have been telling you about all of the transfers that are taking place with the squad and how Juwan Howard is trying to juggle all of this. He's just coming off of a weird first year as the head coach of that program. They have a decent season. You know, they start off real hot, have some trouble in the middle, and then seem to figure some things out as the year went along. And then all of a sudden, right when postseason hits, of course, the coronavirus pandemic cancels everything. And then this offseason, again, just so many players deciding that they want to take their talents elsewhere. But this week, they got an addition that really nobody saw coming. I'll tell you about that addition in just a moment. Okay? So we'll get to that news. And also, on today's current sports, I'm going to tell you about what the Mid-American Conference is doing amidst the pandemic that has them really scrambling financially, just like many leagues out there. I mean, if you are not a Power 5 conference right now, you are looking at this pandemic and the cancellations that could be coming down the pike for you, and you're looking at the financial situation for your conference, and you're really pulling your hair out. Because it's just a situation that's out of your control. And when it comes to you trying to stay above water financially, there are going to be some tough decisions that you will have to make. And the Mid-American Conference is already making those kind of tough decisions. So I'll tell you what the MAC did this week. So we'll dive into that. And I'll also have Reflection Friday for you guys, looking at the week that has been here on the show. And I may touch on a few stories that we didn't get a chance to highlight throughout this week. I also got a comment on a few listener comments concerning yesterday's current sports in particular. And I love when I can bring other conversations that don't deal with your normal sports chatter about wins and losses and transfers and, you know, score predictions, that kind of stuff. When we can add another layer of conversation within the sporting world, because it sparks up different dialogue and it brings to the fold different opinions that may not line up with yours. And that's what current sports is all about. Letting other voices be heard, letting your voice be heard, even if it's not the most popular opinion. So I did a Throwback Thursday show yesterday that sparked up some convo. I'll get to why that sparked up some convo later on this hour. All right, so stick around. So if you would like to be a part of the show, you guys know how you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Those are the ways in which you can weigh in on this Friday edition of the show. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's dive right into it, folks. Today is Michigan State Day on the Big Ten Network, and Kirk Cousins will be joined by a group of fellow Spartans partnering with the Big Ten Network to raise money and awareness for Feeding America and its network of 200 food banks. Now, kicking off things tonight at 8:30 p.m., Cousins will live tweet a replay of Michigan State's 2011 victory over fourth-ranked Wisconsin. That was a 37-31 dub in which the two-time NFL Pro Bowl QB connected with Keith Nickell for the game-winning 44-yard touchdown as time expired. I remember that game so well. I was actually still a student at Michigan State in my junior year. I had tailgated earlier in the day, and I was actually, during this moment, I was actually, you know, we thought it would be, you know, we could do this real quick. Run over to my friend's dorm room at Holden Hall, and I wasn't there at the time, but, you know, we're on campus, and we said, all right, we can run over before, you know, time expires on the game, and we're running over, and then we hear this huge, just insane crowd noise coming down the street, which, you know, Holden Hall isn't that far from Spartan Stadium, but we hear the crowd just go crazy, and we're like, oh my goodness, we just missed something big. Something just happened here. And we run to the dorm room and everybody's going crazy. And then they show the replay of that play. And I missed it live, but I heard the vibes coming from the crowd. That's a moment I'll never forget as a Spartan fan, as a Spartan student. Oh, just amazing stuff. So that will replay tonight at 8:30 p.m. And check this. Fans can join the conversation or submit questions by following Kirk Cousins on Twitter at KirkCousins8 or utilizing the hashtag BTNKirkCousins. While watching the game, fans are encouraged to visit feedingamerica.org/BTN and donate to the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization as it feeds families impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. BTN will match the first $10,000 in donations and, in an effort to maximize donations, will embed the Feeding America URL on screen throughout the broadcast. So this is a really cool moment for Spartan fans. Michigan State Day on the Big Ten Network tonight, replaying that 37-31 victory for Michigan State over Wisconsin in East Lansing at Spartan Stadium. Kirk Cousins live tweeting that game. Get involved, watch it like it's live, and again, if you can, contribute to Feeding America. This is really, really cool stuff. All right, and shout out to Kirk Cousins. You know, such a classy individual, a classy Spartan. Thanks to him for doing this. It's awesome, awesome stuff. All right, Michigan State junior gymnast Leah Mitchell earned first-team All-Big Ten honors, and senior Gabriella Douglas earned second-team All-Big Ten accolades as the Big Ten Conference Postseason Gymnastics Awards were announced by the conference office yesterday. Now, Mitchell is the first Spartan gymnast to earn first-team honors since Lisa Burt and Elena Legowski earned first-team accolades 5 years ago back in 2015. A native of Boynton Beach, Florida, Mitchell won 7 all-around titles in addition to 5 floor exercises and 2 uneven bars titles through 10 meets. She is an animal out there on the mat. In the all-around competition, Mitchell achieved a new personal best score of 39.375 on January 11th in a tri-meet with Central Michigan and Illinois State, which she then tied at Big 5 Elevate, the stage meet, on February 22nd. So deserving of that honor, one of the most talented Spartan athletes that we have here in this area. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, didn't see this move coming. I'm going to have more on this move in just a moment. Michigan basketball. Yeah, they've appeared to have filled one of the 2 open scholarships for next season. After entering the transfer portal on Wednesday, Purdue guard Nojel Eastern unexpectedly announced in a Twitter post yesterday that he is committed to play for Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines. The 6'7" Evanston, Illinois native started 62 games for the Purdue Boilermakers the past 2 seasons, averaging a career best 7.5 points and 5.5 boards in 2018-2019. Now, he has 1 more year of eligibility, but is not in the transfer portal as a grad transfer, meaning he'll likely have to sit out the 2020-2021 season. But who saw that coming? Nojel Eastern transferring from Purdue to Ann Arbor? I have thoughts on that in just a moment. Okay, folks, Matthew Stafford has split his time between California and Georgia this offseason, and now the Detroit Lions QB is actually selling his absolutely gorgeous Bloomfield Township home. The asking price, you ask, for anybody wondering who may have some extra cheese just laying around and who wants to relocate, a cool $6.5 million. How incredible is this? Stafford declined to comment through the Lions, but the talk of the QB's house being up for sale has been around for months, since before he was even rumored to be on the trading block and rumored to want to trade in February. Stafford said in a video conference on Thursday that he took those trade rumors in stride, but he declined to share any conversations he had with Lions coach Matt Patricia or general manager Bob Quinn about his future or their feelings about Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who is now the franchise quarterback out in Miami for the Dolphins. Now, according to the real estate listing, this crib is incredible. The Stafford's Bloomfield Township home sits on 1.27 acres of lakefront property and includes an indoor half basketball court made of flooring that the Detroit Pistons played on at the Pontiac Silverdome. That's awesome stuff. Five fireplaces, a sauna, a wine cellar, a glass elevator with service to not one, not two, but all three levels, and the largest infinity pool in the state of Michigan. It's mind-boggling just how sexy this home is. If you haven't seen it, go to my Twitter page, at AlMartinWKAR. I tweeted it out, and you can just peruse through the pictures. I tweeted out not just the article from the Detroit Free Press, but the actual listing on the real estate site, and you can look at so many photos of outside the house and inside the house, and yeah, it'll just make you dream a little bit. So if you need a little getaway, just dream a little bit. You know, hey, energy, you know, thoughts have a lot of energy. All right, so just think of yourself in that house, just walking around and enjoying life. And maybe it'll plop in your lap. Never know. You never know. $6.5 million though. That's a lot of cheese. All right, the Staffords bought the five-bedroom house in 2013 and did a major renovation and addition in 2016. The 12,295-square-foot house, including its finished lower level, officially hit the market yesterday, on Thursday. So check out the pictures. It is beautiful. All right, the Mid-American Conference is making drastic changes due to the coronavirus pandemic. Beginning in the 2020-2021 academic year, the conference tournaments for eight sports will be eliminated, while men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and seven other sports will undergo postseason adjustments. The MAC made that announcement on Tuesday. Baseball, softball, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's tennis, field hockey, and women's lacrosse will send their regular season winners to the NCAA tournaments. Nine other sports, most notably basketball, will feature abbreviated postseason tournaments in the 12-team conference. So, some cuts happening in the MAC. You know the sport that isn't undergoing any changes, though? That's right, you guessed it. The big money getter, college football. Football will not be affected in the Mid-American Conference as it relates to these changes. More on that story later on. And sadly, I bring this news to you guys. Bob Watson, a former Houston Astros star and the first black general manager to win a World Series title in Major League Baseball history, sadly passed away last night after a long battle with a kidney disease. His son made the announcement via Twitter. Watson played 19 seasons in the league himself from 1966 to 1984, most notably with the Astros as an outfielder and first baseman. He also spent time with the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, and Atlanta Braves, earning two All-Star nods. He served as the Astros GM from 93 to 95 before holding the same post with the Yankees for two seasons. While in New York, Watson helped lead the Yankees to a World Series win in 1996, which made him the first black GM in MLB history to do so. How amazing is that? And shocking that it took that long, right? 1996 is when Bob Watson made that history as the first black GM in MLB history to win a World Series. He later worked as the league's VP of on-field operations for 8 years before retiring in 2010. Bob Watson, again, passing away last night. All right, amid a contentious standoff with MLB players, MLB commish Rob Manfred appeared on CNN yesterday to discuss the league's outlook amid the coronavirus pandemic. At one point, Manfred outlined the total financial risk he believes the league faces if the season has to be canceled, and it's a very big number. Check this. This is what Rob Manfred had to say yesterday. Quote, "The economic effects are devastating, frankly, for the clubs. We are a big business, but we are a seasonal business. And unfortunately, this crisis began at the low point for us in terms of revenue. We hadn't quite started our season yet, and if we don't play a season, the losses for the owners could approach $4 billion with a B, $4 billion. Now, that number is likely made up primarily of lost gate revenues and television revenues. MLB has been working to avoid the loss of the latter as it tries to figure out a way to hold games that would at least allow the league to hit the airwaves. But it's not looking good right now when it comes to revenue in Major League Baseball. I do believe that we will see baseball in the coming weeks or months here as they're, you know, trying to figure out how to hold these games without fans in the stands. But still, there will be losses. And Rob Manfred saying close to $4 billion. Wow. That's pretty incredible, right? All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. And also, you know, I forgot to throw in there. I don't know how I forgot this, but Bob Watson was 74 years old. Rest in peace to Bob Watson. He was 74 years old. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, you can weigh in by picking up the phone and texting, not calling, texting 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I will give you my thoughts on Nojel Eastern deciding to take his basketball talents to Ann Arbor from Indiana, Purdue. And I'll talk about those cuts for the Mid-American Conference. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I hope everybody out there is having a great, 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 great Friday. One of my favorite days of the week, right, of course, because the weekend is near. But to be quite honest with you guys, I mean, doesn't every day kind of feel like a weekend day now when you're sitting at home, especially for those working at home? You know, when the weekend comes, I guess you don't have to work from home unless you do work weekends. But, you know, just being home every single day, you know, the days just kind of mixed together. But nonetheless, happy Friday to you guys. And a few things I want to tackle right now, starting with Michigan basketball, led by, of course, now second-year head coach, or I should say like one-and-a-half-year head coach, Juwan Howard. I say that because, like, really, you know, last year with the season being cut short, it didn't really feel like a full year. So I think when he's done with this upcoming year, he won't be at year number two. He'll be like, you know, he'll complete like 1.5 years with the program, 1.5 when it's all said and done next season. just a different time right now. But, you know, for Michigan basketball, you know, if you look at these past few weeks, really these past couple of months, it's been pretty surreal for them. You know, canceling the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. And then at the beginning of April, Michigan's roster really underwent some change as we saw, you know, how they missed out on two five-star prospects, you know, those five-star prospects in Josh Christopher, who chose Arizona State after all signs pointed toward the Wolverines. That was a gut punch. And then not even 24 hours after, half of that, 12 hours after, Josh Christopher chose to take his talents to the West Coast at Arizona State, we saw Isaiah Todd opt to just skip college altogether. And I touched on this last week, how I do believe this is going to become a trend where we see some of the top high school basketball talent out there when evaluating their hoop future. They will think very seriously about the option of playing college basketball and not getting paid, even though it looks as though the rule is going to go in place come next season for college athletes, that they can profit off of their name, image, or likeness. But, you know, if you compare that to what they could possibly make overseas playing professionally or even in the NBA's G League, I think it kind of pales in comparison. I don't know, though. We'll see. But Isaiah Todd, he opted to play outside the country. He decided to go overseas. Thank you, but no thank you, Juwan Howard. I'm going to try the pro route and then hop into the draft. Pro route overseas and then hop into the NBA draft. So that was a blow to them. You know, and then they lost three players to the transfer portal. And it's like, what is going on out in Ann Arbor? And I tried to ease, I've tried to ease the minds of Michigan fans everywhere by saying that, look, this is the norm right now in college basketball, especially. It's the norm. Kids are looking at their situations at their respective colleges and saying, all right, if I'm not getting enough minutes, I want to go somewhere where I can get enough minutes so I can have some good highlights out there that could possibly woo top NBA GMs, scouts, coaches, so I can have a better opportunity at the NBA draft and making that dream come true. The transfer portal has really changed the game in college basketball, college football, and college sports. So you look at all of that news. Postseason canceled for Juwan Howard. You lose out on those two five-star prospects. You lose three players to the transfer portal, and you're sitting there saying, oh my goodness, what more can go wrong? Well, yesterday, just unexpected, man. Nobody saw this coming. Yesterday, though, Michigan got some good news. As Purdue wing, Nojel Eastern, a very talented guard. I really like Nojel's game. He entered the transfer portal on Tuesday. And check this. He put out on his Twitter yesterday at 12:30 p.m. So like, you know, a half an hour before we hit the airwaves on Current Sports yesterday. But again, my show was pre-taped in the morning, so I couldn't react to it live yesterday. But he puts out there at 12:31, committed, with him grabbing a basketball rim, screaming, flexing, with the Michigan basketball jersey on. What? Where in the world did that come from? I mean, and now intra-conference transfers, they happen. You know, the Wolverines have seen their share of players finish careers at other Big Ten programs. But still, this was unexpected. Very unexpected. And then, you know, to add fuel to the fire here, to pique your interest even more, Purdue coach Matt Painter, he took the airwaves on Wednesday to express how surprised he was by Eastern's decision to enter the transfer portal and criticized Eastern's work ethic and performance. Whoa. Yeah. Matt Painter, you can tell listening to that interview, and I forget which outlet had that interview, but he was not happy. You could just tell he was not happy. And this is the thing that is going to just continue to irk a lot of college coaches out there, because the transfer portal allows college athletes who are unhappy with their situations to test the waters. You're going to see more and more stories like that of Nojo Eastern. And frankly, more and more stories of possibly, yeah, I don't care if this school may be in the same conference that we compete against a school that we compete against on the regular basis. At the end of the day, it's about putting myself in the best position for my basketball future. And if I feel like, hey, yeah, who cares? Purdue, yeah, we play in the same conference as the University of Michigan. If I feel like I have a better opportunity there, then I'm going there. And you guys know how I feel about this, man. More power to the player. Because right now the player has no power in college athletics. You guys know how I feel about just the stance of the player in the college game right now. The college athlete is at the mercy of the NC2A system. So at the end of the day, that college athlete has to look out for his or her best interest. It will be an entirely different game if the NCAA was directly paying these players. At the end of the day, it's a business, and do what's best for you. Period. But this is going to irk a lot of coaches out there, and I kind of get their standpoint. Look, man, I mean, your job is about winning. These college coaches, like Matt Painter, like Juwan Howard, like Tom Izzo here in East Lansing, so on and so forth, their job is to win. And if they don't win, that seat becomes a little warm and a little warmer, then hot. Then at some point, if you keep losing that chair, that seat is just going to be lit on fire. And the way college coaches win is by recruiting the best players and getting talent to commit to your program so that you can rack up wins. And I think Nojo Eastern is a talented guard, and he's got a lot of upside. So the Wolverines, when looking at, and you know, I'm wondering how much this strains the coaching relationship, the coaching camaraderie between Juwan Howard and Matt Painter. I don't know. Does it strain it at all? I have no idea. Or do they look at this as gamesmanship and they say, Matt Painter looks at it and says, hey, touche. You got him now. And maybe, you know, listening to Matt Painter's comments earlier this week, he may be looking at the situation and saying, all right, now it's Juwan Howard's headache, not my headache anymore, because he doesn't look fondly at Nojo Eastern when it comes to his work ethic and his performance. So I don't know. I don't know how Matt is looking at it right now, but I'm wondering if it strains the relationship between Painter and Juwan Howard. I already know it makes it more competitive between those two schools. I'll tell you that. It's going to be fun to watch Painter and Juwan Howard go at it next season, right? But, you know, it's understandable why Juwan Howard went after Eastern. Well, the Wolverines have one open scholarship for next season. And, you know, when it comes to that backcourt, it's kind of up in the air. Kind of up in the air, right? Even in the future, you know, looking at 2021, 2022, you know, they are projected to have like six open slots out of 13 for the 2021, 2022 season. If Franz Wagner declares for the NBA draft after the 2021 season, or 2020-2021 season, there would be seven open scholarships. That's more than half of Michigan's allotment of 13. That's a dire situation. So, you know, Juwan Howard has to make moves like this. He has to look down the pike and try to get more recruits to commit to his program. But yeah, and looking at Eastern, you know, after starting 35 of 36 games in 2018-2019 and playing a really pivotal role for a team that won a share of the Big Ten title and reached the Elite Eight, Eastern did see his numbers slip as Purdue struggled to figure things out without Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein. So, and when it comes to Eastern looking at his basketball future, Eastern, he has entered his name in the NBA draft the past 2 years just to test the waters and see where he's at. Averaging, what, 5 points, 42% shooting. Yeah, that's not the production you want in your junior season. But we'll see if him going to Ann Arbor kind of like adds a jolt to his game. We'll see. But the reason why I say Nojo Eastern is talented and he has a tremendous upside, because I've seen what this young man can do, and I've seen him against Michigan State be able to produce a little bit. He's a two-time Big Ten All-Defensive Team selection. Great defender. He can lock down your best player. And I think he does a great job of controlling the game. He can handle the ball, initiate your offense if asked. He knows how to play off the ball really well and can score a bucket or two. So, you know, he's got to work on that jump shot. But, you know, Nojo Eastern can be groomed here. And we'll really get to see just how good of a coach Juwan Howard and his fellow coaching staff is as it comes to developing players. If he can turn Nojo Eastern into something even greater than what we've seen. So this is gamesmanship. Purdue says, Michigan says, Come on over. We need the help. I think Michigan may be in a bit of desperation mode right now. But look, man, this was a great move. This is a win for Juwan Howard and Michigan. All right, some more college sports news that I want to touch on here is the Mid-American Conference. And look, we're seeing this. We're seeing these conversations take place in the college game, not just concerning the Mid-American Conference. The Mid-American Conference and what's going on right now with that conference, which I'll explain in just a moment. This is just a small window into the bigger picture of college athletics, especially when it comes to conferences who are not Power 5 conferences. The financial situation is dire, and everyone is scrambling to try and figure out how they deal with the financial loss that is expected to come down the pike due to this pandemic. Because right now, everything is up in the air. We're not seeing, who knows when is the next time we are going to see fans in the stands for any sporting event, let alone that in college sports. Just not safe right now. Despite what some people may believe, the coronavirus didn't just up and disappear. It's still out there. Deaths are still happening. Cases are still happening. I cringe at the thought of fans sitting elbow to elbow in the stands watching a sporting event, knowing that this thing still lingers. And the liability that these respective leagues will have to endure if there is an outbreak at a game will be tremendous. And they'll look like idiots. You can't take that risk. It's a different time we're living in here. And I know we all want to get back to normal, right? You hear that a lot nowadays. I want to get back to normal. And I understand, look, you know, people have businesses out there. Some businesses that just started this year and then this happens. Unemployed. You know, heck, my sister had to file for unemployment last month. She's out of a job. Don't know how you're going to pay the bills. But the alternative would be you going back to work and possibly catching this thing, and you don't know how your body's going to react. You're not, most of us aren't doctors, okay? Especially if you have underlying health conditions. So with all that being said, you can't have fans in the building. And then when it comes to collegiate sports, the point I made last week is that, look, how can you expect student athletes to play games on campus if students are sitting back at home having to learn virtually? That's unpaid labor, right? That doesn't make any sense to me. Students can't return to campus because it's too serious of a situation right now. But student athletes, you guys come along because we got to make money off you. What? That's insane. If students can't come back to campus, then student athletes can't come back to campus, and you can't have sporting events. That's just how it is right now. There are going to be losses here. So the Mid-American Conference, beginning this upcoming academic year, conference tournaments for 8 sports will be eliminated. Men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and 7 other sports undergoing postseason adjustments. Baseball, softball, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's tennis, field hockey, and women's lacrosse will send their regular season winners to the NCAA tournament. No conference tournament. 9 other sports, most notably that being basketball, will feature abbreviated postseason tournaments in the 12-team conference. It has to happen. It has to. One, to be safe. That's number one. And two, it's like, why? Why even do it? Why even hold these postseason tournaments? I mean, what do you get out of them? I don't know how much financial revenue they get, but the big reason here is because of the pandemic. And to be safe. But I think, and I have to expound upon this more on Monday's show, but the big key here, and it's not surprising, folks, because right now you just don't want to pull that trigger just yet, because college football is king in college sports. The Mid-American Conference is not willing to go as far as to say that football will be also affected in these changes, because football still is very lucrative for the conference. We don't want to go that far just yet. Says a lot when you look across the board at these cuts, what should be cut. And that's just life, man. Look, these other sports, they don't bring in as much as college football does. So we're not going to go that far just yet, even though I believe I'm with Kirk Herbstreit, man. It will be very hard for me to see college football coming back as scheduled this upcoming season. I just can't see it. I don't see it. 2021 is when I expect college football to be back in our lives, back on the television. All right, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'll have Reflection Friday for you guys, and something I just want to get off my chest real briefly here as we usher you all into the weekend. You are listening to the Friday edition, Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just a few minutes left here in the hour. And for Reflection Friday, it's been a very eventful week, to be quite honest with you guys, here on the show. You know, we've had some great discussions about, you know, the new normal in the sporting world. That's like an ongoing conversation we've had in the last few weeks, though. But, you know, the show I really was intrigued about, you know, I'm figuring out new and different ways to keep you guys entertained, even though we don't have live sports on our televisions in our lives, right? You know, with the exception of a few, like the Korea Baseball League and UFC as well. Golf will be returning soon. You know, I'm finding different ways on Thursday to kind of go back in current sports history and bring to you guys interviews and segments that are just intriguing. And I had an activism special on yesterday's Current Sports, throwback Thursday edition of Current Sports, where we looked back at some of our favorite segments and interviews that dealt with social activism within the sporting world. And when one segment in particular that really got a lot of attention yesterday was my sit down with Matthew Abdullah and Michael Lynn III, two former Lansing Catholic High School football players who decided to kneel in protest of police brutality and inequality here in America. I had them both in studio a few years back in 2017, I believe, and I replayed that interview to talk about how these young men weren't afraid to stand up or kneel for their rights. As black men in America, as minorities here in America, and it takes a lot of courage to do that, especially if you're a high school kid. And they got a lot of backlash, a lot of backlash from the school directly. And, you know, I got some backlash, for that interview, because some of you guys didn't agree with their views and opinions. And look, I love when we have moments like that here on Current Sports, because the platform that I have been blessed to have here at WKAR allows me to bring certain views and opinions from the public that may not line up with yours. But all I can hope for in doing that is to possibly open your eyes to another view, another perspective, allow you to hear from another person who may not walk the same walk that you do, that hasn't been brought up the way that you have, that you may not be able to understand the experiences of that individual. But maybe I can open your eyes just a bit and allow you to be, give you the opportunity to be sympathetic to another person's walk on this thing we call planet Earth. And if I can just get you to think a little bit and to at least sympathize a little bit, I've done my job. I've done my job. That's all I want to say. All right, that's all I got to say on that, because I got some comments from a few people that were like, I don't agree with what they're saying, and you don't have to. That's the beauty of what I get a chance to do here every day at 1 o'clock. You don't have to agree with everything I say. I don't expect you to. Opinion drives sports talk radio, but I hope to at least get you to think a little bit. And vice versa. I learn from you guys just like hopefully you learn from me. And if you don't, you know what the dial is. All right, folks, enjoy your weekend. I'll have a full recap of the final two episodes. Oh, I'm really sad in saying this, but the final two episodes of The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls docuseries, which airs Sunday night from 9 to 11. I can't wait to check it out. We'll recap that and more on Monday. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.